Says I'm live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV. Name the movie. I'll answer questions for 10 minutes, and 10 minutes only. If those questions do not come in a calm and orderly fashion, I'm on my way out of here. Special Cheesehead TV swag to whoever can answer that trivia question. How is everybody? Good to see everybody in the comments. Did I see Jamal's nasty route today? Can't say that I did. I was a bit preoccupied slash busy, but I'm sure I'll see you a billion times across social media throughout the evening. Nagler needs his own big dog in his apartment. You know, guys, your obsession about getting me a dog has reached critical mass with my daughters. I gotta tell you, they have not backed down from their request. If anything, they have doubled down. So I thank you for that, truly. Who has more receiving yards, Lazard or Funchess? Lazard. Drunk cheese time? Oh, God, I wish. More business cheese, if you will. MVS has to make the team to bounce back. Ooh, Joel. Ooh. Going dark in late May. Wow. I mean, you're right, but wow, man, you said it. Zachary, that's funny. That is funny. What else we got here? Packerman and Nagler's dog must be best friends. You guys and the dog, I tell you. I tell you all, what are you doing to my life? The dog. ESPN Power Rankings has the Packers at 8-8. I laughed when I saw that. I mean, it's pretty much not even worth the pixels it's printed with. So that's fine. Hilarity can ensue when looking at power rankings on May 28th. Look, I think a lot of statistical models will probably follow along those lines this year, simply because the Packers are a prime candidate to regress a little bit as far as the record goes. Now, they could very well be an actually better football team, yet take a step back record-wise. And I don't really care. As long as they make the dance, as long as they're in the playoffs and have a shot, I don't much care. Obviously, I want them to be a better team. I want them to continue to improve. But, you know, with their 13-3, 10-6, I don't care. Just get in the dance. That's where I'm at. All dressed up with no place to go. I had an event for my daughter's school. And so I just kept it on. What the hell, you know? You guys can deal with this scrubbed up business version of Nagler, at least for one night. Aaron, thanks for the super chat. Give the kiddos start saving the dog. Well, hey, you guys may not know, but every super chat goes to Cheesehead TV. That does not come directly to me. So undoubtedly, in a indirect sense, that does help. So me in my pursuit of fending off my daughter's desire for a dog. So thank you. Thank you very much. Can you explain what the QB coach's role is? Well, that's a very good question. I think it kind of varies a little bit from team to team. Certainly in Green Bay, it's a little different because of relationships, etc. Obviously, how Alex Van Pelt was the quarterback's coach is probably different than what's his name, who was there for 1 year. Signetti, who was there for 1 year. Oh, man, I could tell a fun story about that. I think I'll hold off. Maybe some night I'm drunk cheese. But now you've got Luke Getsy, who's obviously brought back and was, I don't want to say Rodgers' preferred QB coach, but they are close. And, you know, it's no secret that Aaron really wanted him back on the staff. More than anything, they're, you know, on staff to not only, you know, go over fundamentals with the quarterbacks, drill them with those things, but also the mental aspect of it, going over protections, coverages, how they read coverages, how what the expected adjustments to those coverages might be. You know, it's just, it's a lot of drill work, and the job and or challenge for a lot of quarterbacks coaches, how to keep it fresh, especially when you're working with someone like Aaron Rodgers, who famously said, I welcome hard coaching. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, an off-season interview with Peter King, where he talked about, I welcome hard coaching. I want to be coached hard. Well, you know, that's all well and good until maybe it's someone that you don't trust and or respect. That's not Aaron in particular. I'm just talking quarterbacks in general. But it is difficult when you're coaching a two-time MVP. You want that relationship to be tight. You want that relationship to be one where it's a two-way street. There's a lot of trust. And I think Aaron had that with Alex Van Pelt and certainly felt like he lost that once Van Pelt was out the door. And I think that was a big driver in bringing Getsy back. He wanted someone that he trusted. And, hell, LaFleur provided it. I'm tired of all the Packer stations in Wisconsin constantly dissing Rodgers. Gary Ellerson and Bill Michaels need to move to Fibland. They are despised by all of Southern Wisconsin. Okay, well, now I know that last part's not true. I know a lot of people who like those guys. And look, I get that the problem for me, it's not that they hate Rodgers. I think they are not shy about criticizing Aaron. And Lord knows I haven't been either. I have been the brunt of much criticism online because of it. And some would say borderline stalking. I think the problem is you need to find other topics of conversation, And it's a double-edged sword because if you're on the radio every single day talking sports, especially in a time when there are no sports to talk about, well, the quarterback is going to be a topic of conversation. And the fact that they drafted Jordan Love only adds fuel to that fire. So, I think Aaron's one of the best to ever do it. I think his play has certainly taken a dip in the last couple of years comparative to the great heights we once saw. I don't think for a second that he's done writing his legacy. I think he will bring them, drive them, lead them to another Super Bowl championship. I believe that in my heart. I think with the kind of offense that they can run and develop in Green Bay, I do think the sky is the limit. And I think Aaron's got definitely enough in the tank to, I don't want to say bounce back because I think he had a pretty damn good year last year, but I think he'll continue to grow with Matt LaFleur. And I think that will be downright dangerous. I know there's been a lot of shade thrown at Aaron the last year or so. That's 2 years, really. Some of that may be of his own making. But I also think some of it is, kind of just talk radio chatter. Looking great. Thanks, David. Very nice of you. Thoughts on Mike Daniels hinting that he has talked with the Packers about a return. Ryan, yeah, it's always hard because you don't know what the avenue was. My guess, and this is just a guess, is that his agent and or representatives have reached out to the Packers to say, we love a reunion, we'd love to come back, etc. The Packers undoubtedly have said, yep, we'll keep you in mind. And that's probably where it stayed and or ended, which would make Mike's statement true. That happens a lot where representatives for teams talk to personnel people, even if it's not the GM, it could be an assistant GM, it could be just a scout, whatever. And then agents kind of run with that. And I know this is Mike, so Mike maybe putting that out there, not so much that he thinks he's going to get a job in Green Bay again, but just to keep his name in circulation. It keeps his name afloat. Now, hey, maybe Brian Gutekunst did call him directly and say, hey, we were really thinking about bringing you back. Maybe that happened. Again, I don't know. But my guess is that it's much more the former than the latter. Reports Love is part of the offense this year in some way. Alexandra, I feel partly responsible for those reports because I asked Matt LaFleur literally moments after Love was drafted if they had considered a package utilizing him his rookie year. And Matt at that point said hadn't even crossed his mind. And then Nathaniel Hackett got asked the same question. And so now there are a lot of headlines about it. In fact, I think I asked Nathaniel Hackett about it. Whoops. But I don't think the Packers are looking at it at all. I take them at their word that they are not at the moment, really kind of thinking about that. I think they want to train him up as a backup, and they will go a much more traditional route. Now, they could surprise us all. Come out there week one against the Vikings, and all of a sudden there's a Jordan Love package. That'd be fantastic. I'd be very excited for it, but we'll see. Ryan, you made it. Salute. We already have D linemen who can't make it on the field. Wyside Daniels. Boom, boom. Joel's here all night, ladies and gentlemen. Tip your waitress. Try the veal. Thank God, too much controversy already. That's the other thing, too, right? I didn't even want to say that, but yeah, what if Jordan Love gets on the field and balls out a la Taysom Hill? Oh, boy, that'd be fun. Not. Good Lord. If Rodgers has the same play as last year while only changing his body language after a bad play by whoever on the team, I'll be happy. Brian, man, don't play body language police. And we just got done watching how many weeks of Michael Jordan being a total dick to his teammates and everyone celebrating his greatness. Aaron Rodgers is a great player, and he demands greatness from those around him. I got no problem if he's pissed off at his teammates after a bad play. I got no problem with that. And the other thing is that sometimes he's not even pissed about the things we think he's pissed about. He could be mad about something that the O-line did that he didn't like or whatever. You know, we don't know. We don't know. You're on the sideline, guys are yelling, or he and Matt LaFleur, people are breaking down like Zapruder film style every interaction that they have. Good Lord, I can already tell we're going to go through, and this is not on you. This is just off of your question, but I can already tell we're going to have every single fucking press availability this offseason is going to be a temperature taking of Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, and Jordan Love. Holy cow, I'm already sick of it, and it's May 28th. God help us. Do we all agree Gary should get to run next to Kenny? No. I think they will kick him inside on passing downs on occasion. But I definitely don't want him playing defensive tackle on first and 10. I don't think that's a great idea. I'd much rather have a Kingsley Kiki, a Hester, who they just picked up, Tyler Lancaster, etc. Now, Gary, I think on first downs, on run heavy downs, would be problematic. Do you think Josh Jackson gets 25% of the snaps this year? Nope. I think Kadar Holman's going to It depends on who you're talking to, but I think Kadar Holman's going to surprise a lot of people. He's going to work himself into the mix. God knows. I'm hoping Josh continues to develop and gets on the field and contributes, but we haven't seen much to suggest that that's on its way 3 years in. NASCAR package looks dangerous. Scott, you got that right. Of course, that was the moniker that Dom Capers gave, putting the four pass rushers on the field on third down and letting them pin their ears back. I'm down with that. Looks like you just went to a wedding. I had an event for my daughter's school. Every year they have a baseball day that obviously got canceled this year. And so in lieu of that, they did an IMC baseball day, like on the PA system. And so tonight, they had bingo night in lieu of that. So I did a whole bit, and I dressed up and did the bingo call. So that's why I'm dressed up. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. I have a feeling Kevin King might be the next Hayward interception machine that has a bad game here and there. Dude gets targeted because of Jair. You are absolutely 1,000% correct. That's why he gets targeted. In a rare moment of being correct last summer, all I said all summer long was that he was going to lead the team in interceptions because of that very reason. Quarterbacks aren't going after Jair. You know, they're going to go away from Jair to the other side where Kevin King is. Now, you saw him get taken advantage of at times, but you also saw him around the ball a lot and making plays. Just needs to hold on to a few more of those. Bryson, thanks for the super chat. Wagner worries me when it comes to guys like Mac, whom Bulaga erased from existence. Yeah, that's a legit concern. There's no doubt. You remember LaFleur talking about how he didn't need to worry when they put Veldheer in and his whole playbook was open to him. I'm not so sure that's going to be the case when Wagner's in there. I do think he's going to have to account for some of the better pass rushers like Mac. And I do think that's going to come down to an extra tight end, rolling the quarterback out of the pocket, chipping with a running back, et cetera, but they're going to have to be cognizant of it. But because if you set Wagner out there alone, yeah, he's going to get eaten up. Now, the good news is that this offense that LaFleur runs doesn't depend on two tackles on an island 90% of the time like Mike McCarthy did. That has always been one of the things that bugged the hell out of me about McCarthy and his offense and how he chose to run it. He put those guys on an island all the time, be it starters or no. You know, it wouldn't matter if it was Jason Spriggs or whoever. He'd throw them out there and, okay, you got to perform. And then they get eaten up. So, yeah, I don't – it is a concern. There's zero doubt about that. But the good thing is this offense should lend itself to helping him in those instances. Oh, boy. Javier's got a conspiracy theory. I love it. Packers executives will always prefer, quote, guaranteeing success for a long period of time over going all in for a year because of how real bad small market teams' relocation has been. Well, they're never going to relocate. That's not a news conspiracy theory. I hate to disappoint you, but people have said that forever under Ted Thompson. You know, they didn't spend because they were worried, blah, blah, blah. That's all nonsense. I know you know that in your heart of hearts, but it is fun to talk about. Joel, thank you for the super chat. I never again want to hear a Jordy return. He's done. You know, let me just say this. I really enjoyed Jordy's appearance on Pat McAfee's show the other day. But, yes, it has launched yet another round of bring Jordy back from certain segments of the Packers populace. And I am with you. He is done. As Professor Jones said to his son, Indiana, in Last Crusade, let it go. I'm actually kind of excited to see how transplants works before there's football to talk. Oh, Jitsu, you are in for a treat, my friend. I have no idea how it's going to work either. But it'll be fun. It'll be a good time. Next Wednesday. Be there. Bring Favre back. Yeah, I'm all in on that. Chad, do you think the fans are displeased with this draft because we got used to mid first round picks over the past few years? No, I mean, I think fans got used to drafting late under Thompson, so it's not like it's a new phenomena. I do think, as I've said many times, I think the draft industrial complex and the explosion of draft coverage puts lots of names in people's heads, and then when those names don't end up associated with your team, oh, they're idiots. No, they're not idiots. They are professionals who do things however they want to do them, and their way has been pretty damn successful for over, you know, since 1992, whenever Ron Wolf came in. So, again, I get it. I totally get it. But ultimately, 98.7% of draft content that you consume online is entertainment, and that's all it is. Bryson, I legit live next to Jordy. He ain't coming back. Bryson, breaking the news here. Thanks for the super chat. Okay. How good is tonight's Packers documentary of seasons 2000 to 2009? Jonathan, the Legacy documentary is fantastic, but I will admit this: the final kind of chapters are pretty milquetoast just because it's dealing with lots of recent events, lots of people who are either still with the organization or who have recently moved on. And it's, you know, it's a wash. It's a great glorified PR hour or so, whatever it is. But it's still worth it. Definitely worth it. You hear from some great kind of voices who maybe you haven't heard a ton from. But ultimately, yeah, it's a PR dish, which is actually, you know, obviously the entire documentary is a PR dish. But, you know, when they're talking about the 30s and 40s and the 50s and whatever, you know, it's like you can tell the truth. You can say what happened. And I think they did a really good job of that. Even up to the 80s, I think they handled the Bart Starr firing. When you have Larry McCarron on camera really teeing off about how upset he was when Bart Starr was fired, I found that of the entire series, I thought that was the most compelling moment. Just because it was so raw and unvarnished. And I think some, you know, not a lot, but especially later on, a lot of it is kind of varnished. But ultimately, I still love it. It's still great. I still watch it all the time. Steve, thanks for the super chat. Thanks for the drink. Very nice of you. Any chance Rodgers continues to light it up and we trade Love, not tomorrow, but in a couple of years, could he get a high pick and another QB to groom? Molly, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I highly doubt it. This move was made with the idea that Jordan Love is the future. And even if Rodgers does ball out, I tend to think they will look to move him rather than, you know, move Love and go the route the Patriots did with Tom Brady. That's my hunch. It's just guesswork on my part. But I do think this is very much Ryan Gutekunst planting his flag with, this is my guy. You know, Aaron is Ted's guy. Jordan, it's Brian's guy. I need to watch to help out in trivia. Brandy, that's a very good idea. I have taken some questions from Legacy, so you would be doing yourself a favor, no doubt. Have I ever had to shake Larry McCarron's hand? Yes. Yes, I have. Larry is the sweetest, nicest, most insightful guy you'll ever meet. He's a great dude. Adam, do you think Taylor Gabriel's size is the biggest thing stopping us from giving him a shot? The exact opposite of Goot, Ted, Ron's prototypical wide receiver? Or are they truly content with the current wide receiver room? I mean, Adam, I said at the beginning of the free agency process that I thought Taylor Gabriel was a great fit. They clearly don't agree. And yeah, I can only take them at their word. They love what they got. Maybe they don't even love it, but they are happy with what they have. And they think they can win with it. You know, as I pointed out a couple weeks ago, it's not like Brian has sat on his hands when it comes to the wide receiver group. You know, whether it was calling, you know, when Watkins was available, he made that call. Allen Robinson, it came down to a choice between the Packers and the Bears. He chose the Bears. They tried to sign Sanders when he was a free agent. They tried to trade for the Jets guy, whose name I'm totally forgetting. But it's not like they, you know, it's not like he has been inactive. He has been in those conversations, as he said he would be. He just hasn't pulled the trigger and or gone over the top to acquire a wide receiver. My sense is because he knows, or he thinks that, you know, they've got Davante Adams, they've got Aaron Jones, they've got now a developing Sternberger, etc. They've got weapons, and they don't need to overpay. And they don't need to overvalue the wide receiver position, especially with a new coach and system and an offense that doesn't feature wide receivers the same way Mike McCarthy's offense did. And I do think that plays a part in Packers fandom being so obsessed with the wide receiver group. We got used to a decade plus of 4 and 5 wide receivers and Ted Thompson providing tons of wide receivers every year because that was what the offense called for. This offense, how they want to run it, is, you know, is not as dependent on wide receiver talent. Now, do they need better play there? Undoubtedly, unquestionably. They feel they can get it from the continued development in-house. We'll see. As I said in the title of this video, hope is not a plan unless you're counting on development. Then apparently that's the plan. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. Casey Hayward tweeted at me that he may do another Cellcom commercial someday. Also, I'd like to say that I think Raji is going on transplants. Oh, Nathan, you have no idea about transplants, sir. Although that's kind of funny. Matt, thanks for the super chat. Jordan Love, over under 10 snaps this year. Under. I'll be shocked if he sees the field. Now, obviously, that's crystal ball stuff. And, you know, knock wood, Aaron Rodgers doesn't get injured. And, yes, Jordan Love on the bench with a snap back and clipboard all year long. Can we get a Nagler's Never Right with analysis of the draft picks? You know what? That's not a terrible idea. That is not a terrible idea. I'm always hesitant to do solo Nagler's Never Rights because I do this all the time, or I do the Zoom happy hours. And so when I do the podcast, I want to have a guest. And I try to make it like, you know, someone you guys want to hear from, but you know, I could do that. That's a good idea. You know, we're in the depths of the off season. I'll put that together. A-plus parenting. Oh, gosh, Ryan. Look at the suit. Tom. Look good, feel good, buddy. That's all I got to say. No, I had a thing for my daughter's school. Nags, would you be surprised if we cut Montravius Adams? Nope. You got a lot more here in your question, Zachary, but no. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. I was asked about this yesterday. I mean, he did not help himself with that arrest. And he certainly was a disappearing act last year after, you know, being talked up quite a little bit during training camp. Now they've added some free agency / waiver wire pieces, especially, you know, expecting Kiki to keep developing. Yeah, would not surprise me in the least to see him get cut. Bryson, thanks for the super chat. Real question, is there one better than Wayne and Rock at their job? Guys bring the game to another level. Bryson, you are right about that. Although I was, you know, there were. Anyone who's old enough remembers Jim Irwin and Max McGee were the gold standard. You know, you talk about, I'll put them up against anybody else in the Pepsi Challenge. They were so perfect in the sense of their complementary personalities. Jim's just spot on call each and every down. And then Max getting excited. Some may say maybe a little, too many libations at times. We'll never know. Urban legend, maybe. I don't know. But it was just, they were perfect. But yes, Larry and Wayne do a fantastic job. They're amazing at what they do. And when I can, at least I used to, when I can, I try and sync up their audio over whoever's on TV. If Rodgers went down for a few weeks and Love balled out, what would the Packers do this next offseason? Woo, Herbert, that would make it fun, wouldn't it? They'd stick with Rodgers. Even if Love looks all world, they'll stick with him for one more year. I just think the salary cap makes that not a foregone conclusion, because I do think there are ways that they could go about it if they so chose and or, again, found a partner. But I don't see anyone taking it on, and I can't imagine they would just straight up cut him. So, yeah, I still think even a balling out Jordan Love for a few games, Aaron's not going anywhere anytime soon. Oh, that's so cute. Have Gutekunst on before he's fired. Gutekunst has been on, and he'll be on again. He's not getting fired anytime soon. And I love Packers fans who call for firings before they even see the completed picture. Never change. All right, I'm going to have to get going. Can't thank you guys enough for hanging out tonight. Please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Have a great night, everybody. Go Pack, go.